The afternoon had been warm when she landed at Charles de Gaulle Airport and hailed a taxi home.
Grandpère will be so surprised to see me, she thought.
Returning from graduate school in Britain for spring break a few days early, Sophie couldn't wait to see him and tell him all about the encryption method she was studying. When she arrived at their Paris home that Saturday afternoon, however, her grandfather was not there. Sophie looked in the garage. Sure enough, his car was gone. It was the weekend. Jacques Saunier despised city driving and owned a car for one destination only, his vacation chateau in the mountains north of Paris. Sophie, after months in the congestion of London, was eager for the smell of the mountains. It was still early evening, and she decided to leave immediately and surprise him. Borrowing a friend's car, Sophie drove north, winding into the deserted moon-swept hills of Montreuil. She arrived just after 10 o'clock, turning down the long private driveway toward her grandfather's retreat. Sophie had half expected to find him asleep at this hour, and was excited to see the house twinkling with lights. Her delight turned to surprise, however, when she arrived to find the driveway filled with parked cars. Sophie stared a moment, and then burst out laughing.
My grandpère, the famous recluse?
Jacques Saunier, it seemed, was far less reclusive than he liked to pretend. Clearly, he was hosting a party while Sophie was away at school. Eager to surprise him, she hurried to the front door. When she got there, though, she found it locked. She knocked. Nobody answered. Sophie ran to the woodshed and got the spare key her grandfather kept hidden under the kindling box. She ran to the front door and let herself in. Entering, she found the entire house uninhabited. Upstairs, too. As she descended again to the deserted living room, she stood a moment in the silence, wondering what could possibly be happening. It was then that Sophie heard it. Muffled voices, and they seemed to be coming from underneath her. Crouching, she put her ear to the floor and listened. Yes, the sound was definitely coming from below. The voices seemed to be singing or chanting. She was frightened. Almost more eerie than the sound itself was the realization that this house did not even have a basement.
At least, none I've ever seen.
Turning now and scanning the living room, Sophie's eyes fell to the only object that seemed out of place. Her grandfather's favorite antique, a sprawling Aubusson tapestry. It usually hung on the north wall beside the fireplace, but tonight it had been pulled aside on its brass rod, exposing the wall behind it. Walking toward the bare wooden wall, Sophie sensed the chanting getting louder. Hesitant, she leaned her ear against the wood. People were definitely chanting, intoning words Sophie could not discern. Feeling around the edge of the panels, Sophie found a recessed finger hold.
A sliding door.
Heart pounding, she placed her finger in the slot and pulled it. With noiseless precision, the heavy wall slid sideways. From out of the darkness beyond, the voices echoed up. Sophie slipped through the door and found herself on a rough-hewn stone staircase that spiraled downward. As she descended, the air grew cooler, the voices clearer. Her line of sight was limited by the spiral of the staircase, but the last step was now rounding into view. Holding her breath, Sophie inched down another few steps and crouched down to look. It took her several seconds to process what she was seeing. The room was a grotto. The only light came from torches on the walls. In the glow of the flames, 30 or so people stood in a circle in the center of the room. Everyone in the room was wearing a mask. The women were dressed in white gossamer gowns and golden shoes. Their masks were white, and in their hands they carried golden orbs. The men wore long black tunics, and their masks were black. Everyone in the circle rocked back and forth and chanted in reverence to something on the floor before them, something Sophie could not see. The chanting accelerated, thundering now, faster. The participants took a step outward. In that instant, Sophie could finally see what they all were witnessing. Even as she staggered back in horror, she felt the image searing itself into her memory forever. Overtaken by nausea, Sophie spun, clutching at the stone walls as she clambered back up the stairs. Pulling the door closed, she fled the deserted house and drove in a tearful stupor back to Paris. That night, with her life shattered by disillusionment and betrayal, she packed her belongings and left her home. On the dining room table, she left a note.
I was there. Don't try to find me.
Beside the note, she laid the old spare key from the chateau's woodshed. Sophie! Langdon's voice intruded. Stop! Stop! Emerging from the memory, Sophie slammed on the brakes, skidding to a halt.
What? What happened?
Langdon pointed down the long street before them. When she saw it, Sophie's blood went cold. 100 yards ahead, the intersection was blocked by a couple of DCPJ police cars, parked askew, their purpose obvious.
They've sealed off Avenue Gabriel.
Langdon gave a grim sigh. I take it the embassy is off limits this evening.
Okay, Sophie. Turn around very slowly.
Putting the smart car in reverse, she performed a composed 3-point turn and reversed her direction. Cursing, Sophie slammed down the accelerator.